Well, we're almost at the end of this book, my friend, at least as far as I'm going to go. There are a number of epilogues or sign-offs on this in this book. We'll take a look at one of them, particularly the last one, and then we'll talk about what we've been trying to do and what you've been learning. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens, thanks so much for joining me today. You're listening to The Gospel. And you know, the program How It Happens is unique. It is a presentation of the gospel and how it applies and how the good news applies, or rather, how God enters into our struggles with us. He doesn't leave us out in the cold. He doesn't tell us to overcome and then come to Him. He says, come to me and I'll work with you on various things. And this is very clear that what is unique about this program, too, is that I do a cycle of Romans. Take about a year to a year and a half, a year and three quarters, and we start all over again. And we're going to do that in a few days, I would imagine. So thank you for joining me, and I encourage you, if you want to train your faith, to listen to this broadcast every day, either on the radio in here in Denver, or you can listen on the web at faithquestradio.com. faithquestradio.com. Now, Paul has signed off on this book several times, my friend. He's given his farewells, like in chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then he starts up again and gives some more. And then there seems to be an ending at verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. But then he starts up yet again. And then we come to another ending seemingly in chapter 15 at verse 32. That I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And then he starts up again. Well, the answer to this probably, my friends, is that this book was circulated to many different churches, and he would put an addendum there to make it more personal to each church. But I'll tell you one thing, and I'm not going to go into this at any length. One, because I don't know enough about it, but all the names of the churches there, rather the names of people that he mentions in chapter 16, it's really quite endearing. You notice, for instance, in 16 verse 1, he says, I commend you to Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. It's probable that Phoebe delivered this letter. And then there was, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ who risked their own necks for my life. Do you see how he knows so many of these people personally? And verse 9, for instance, greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stiches, my beloved. How lovely to call somebody my beloved like that. And then verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Do you see these beloved little affectionate messages to individuals in the church? Greet Herodian, my countryman. Verse 11 there, greet those who are in the household of Narcissus, who is of the Lord. So, you see, it's like there's a real family of fellowship among these church brethren and sisters, and everyone knows one another, and they're all meeting in each other's houses, and they're having meals together and breaking bread, singing and praising, praying for Paul, and all the rest of it. In fact, he says in verse 17, in verse 30 of chapter 15, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. So he's familiar with these people, even though many of them, even though the letter is to a church in Rome that he may not have gone to yet, although there's some doubt about that. It may be that he has been before. And then look at this affectionate note. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, and mine. Ah, oh, man, can you imagine that? This mother, this Rufus's mother, sort of took care of Paul, was a mother to him, and probably provided him a good meal or two and a bedroom to stay when he was passing through and all of that. And so there's so much warmth and affection in this letter, my friends, to in these endings, these sign-offs that Paul has written. And it reminds us to get more personal in our fellowship. If you're in a big church, maybe you can find a little group in that big church where you can all meet together periodically. I remember when I was married, my wife and I and about six or seven other couples met every other week, listen to me now, every other week for nearly 20 years. That was a real fellowship. That was more important than the church fellowship itself. You have to find little groups within the larger group in order to have your fellowship. Well, I want to make note of the last part of this book that is verse 25, 26, and 27. And I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version. Listen to what Paul says. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my good news, gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed through and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the one only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. It's a wonderfully packed, full paragraph of glory and truth and grace. And Paul is reminding us all through this statement that God is able to keep you, to strengthen you, and to sustain you, my friend. There are many of you, many of us, all of us really in one way or another, who are going through immense suffering, either suffering of the mind or suffering of the body, suffering in relationships, losses and griefs and misunderstandings and anger, suffering in mental torment, some of you may be, obsessive thoughts, fears, terrors, paranoias, maybe even schizophrenia. And some of you with pains in your body, pains in your system so much that you can hardly endure. And we have a message here that He, our Father, is able to keep us and to strengthen us. The New King James Version says, establish us. You know, my friends, that's really a wonderful summary of this gospel. It is not we who give our hearts to Christ. It is not we who search after Christ. It is not we who find Christ somewhere. It is rather God who finds us. The gospel is God's reaching out to you and me, telling us of His good news of salvation and of His love and His rescue of us in Jesus Christ, and settling it into our hearts by faith inspired by the Holy Spirit. That is the message. The message is not whether you can hold on, my friends, but whether God holds on to you. And the answer to that is an indisputable yes. He holds on to you. Now, to Him who is able to establish you or strengthen you, according to the gospel, notice, according to the gospel, not strengthen you humanistically, not strengthen you with a spirit, as it were, because you're spiritual now. No, strengthen you because of the good news. You are established in good news, which is the preaching of Jesus Christ. God has set up a new human race in his Son, of whom we are all participants by faith. Now, this revelation is a revelation of the great hidden secret or mystery that God has kept throughout all the ages. He hinted at it in the Old Testament through prophecies, through types, through sacrifices, and then he finally revealed it in the sort of bouncing onto the stage of his Son. We now look back on that and realize it's our salvation. There's a new human race, my friend. Someone said the other night, we're a real messed up humanity, aren't we? Yes, we certainly are. But there's one who is not messed up, and it's Jesus Christ. And it is He who is our righteousness, He who is our victor, He who has done for God, toward God, in God, that no human being could do. And in Him is our victory. According to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for hidden ages, for long ages, but has now been disclosed through the prophetic writings and made known to all nations. See, it's disclosed not only in the Gospels of the New Testament, but the prophetic writings of the Old Testament. According to the command of the eternal God, and look at that, God commanding it, God telling the angels, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, to go forward and send this message out to all the nations. What an exciting God our God is, who has declared a rescue plan and has told all His myriads of servants to tell the good news and to bring about. Now, the King James Version, the New King James Version, says obedience to the faith. No, I don't think that's it. I think it's what the English Standard Version translates it as, obedience of faith. Do you see? To believe, as Paul has revealed we should do, that Christ is our accounted righteousness and that in Him we are counted as free, that is the truth to which we must believe, the truth that we are called upon to believe. So, my friends, believe it. Keep on believing it. Bounce back every day, and you will get through. Did your parents screw you up, friend? Or are you just a sinner? Hope that's not too personal, but we're looking at the next seminar title, really. On Saturday, the 27th of October at La Quinta Inn in Lakewood, that's what we're going to explore. Did your parents screw you up, or are you just a sinner? You know, behind this question lie very large issues. A man goes on a shooting rampage, kills innocent bystanders. Who did it? Did he, and is he responsible for it, or did something lead him to it? And if so, is he not responsible for it? We Christians, we believe in sin, personal responsibility and all that, but are there things in our past that lead us to have really screwed up attitudes, ideas, and habits and tendencies? Well, we're going to look at this question at the next seminar so that we can learn what to handle by repentance and what to handle by working through these issues, by maybe talking to our abuser, talking to the ones who have wounded us, or somehow forgiving them instead of having to find forgiveness for ourselves. Anyway, did my parents screw me up, or am I just a sinner? The title of the next seminar, Saturday the 27th of October at La Quinta Inn. 9 o'clock in the morning, my friend, till 3:30 in the afternoon. Admission is free. Donations are very, very welcome and very helpful, but if you can't manage any of that, simply turn up anyway. So I'll see you then on the 27th of October, and my friend, I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.